You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Hour 2 on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Reggie Miller will stop by a little bit later on. And one of my favorite writers, Wright Thompson from The Mothership, has a book. It's called Pappyland in Time for Father's Day. It's a great gift. Great gift. And got a chance to read it about 6 months ago. Breezed right through it. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to our radio and TV partners. Of course, iHeartRadio, the Fox Sports Radio lineup, nearly 400 cities around America. And Peacock, our streaming partner. You can watch this program, if you like, for free. Don't miss out on the Peacock original, The Greatest Race. Discover the teammates who pulled off the astonishing comeback in the 4x100 relay at the 2008 Beijing Olympics. The Greatest Race is streaming now only on Peacock. Sign up at PeacockTV.com to get started. When the Brooklyn Nets put together their version of a super team, we knew health could be an issue. Kevin Durant sat out all of 2020 with that Achilles injury. Kyrie Irving hasn't played a full season since he left Cleveland back in 2017. And James Harden has been in and out all season long. In fact, got an update from Woj. The Nets have upgraded James Harden to doubtful for Game 5 coming up tonight. If you upgrade to doubtful, that doesn't sound too promising for the Nets, but it is Game 5 coming up tonight. This is unknown territory. Harden and Kyrie out for Game 5, it looks like, and we don't know about anything with their availability after that. And even when they come back, can they be themselves? I don't know if you can write them off now. I don't know if you feel really confident. Vegas still has the Nets as the team to beat for the NBA championship. I don't know if the stars come back, but now it's Kevin Durant's time. And Milwaukee has employed a pretty good defense, a physical defense there, and frustrating Kevin Durant. Somebody's better step up in this Game 5. Because Milwaukee now is starting to feel a little bit more confident. They should, because you're getting a good team feel here. Playing defense, being able to shut down Kevin Durant. Now, they should beat the Nets with just Kevin Durant. And if they don't, then there's going to be changes in Milwaukee. But you're getting guys who aren't normally playing a lot of minutes. Now they get their chance, and maybe somebody steps up for the Nets tonight other than Kevin Durant. Joe Harris. Joe Harris is costing himself a lot of money by not playing well. And you would have thought he would have been a benefactor here with these other superstars out. Yeah, McLovin.
The Sixers had a big lead early last night. They really blew an opportunity because they need rest for Embiid.
Yeah.
And hoping that the Nets-Bucks go seven, because I'm speaking as a Sixers fan. I think the Nets or the Bucks could beat a hobbled Embiid Sixers.
So Bucks at the Nets, that's Game 5 tonight. The Hawks over the Sixers, they were down 18, came back. Trae Young had 25 and 18. Clippers beat the Jazz. Kawhi Leonard was able to sit out the final 4.5 minutes. Now, he's got that knee injury, a chronic issue, and that, of course, has led to load management during the season. And it seemed to be an issue later in the game. He was asked about it, and he said, will his knee impact him in Game 5? And he said, it's good. Next question. Yeah. Kawhi's not going to give you much anyway, but yeah, I think this is something that he's going to have the rest of his career. That's why he's doing load management here. McLovin, poll question.
So we did put up for hour one. Will Aaron Rodgers be under center week one? 64% say yes.
I'm surprised it's that low. But
yeah, I don't know where the other 36% think he'll be.
Yeah, I don't know either. Maybe I'm not very convincing in my argument here with Aaron Rodgers. Is he going to hold out? Well, it's going to cost him. And I have to believe that he is thinking about his legacy, because this is the team that gives you the best chance to go back to the NFC title game. If he happens to go to the AFC, you're not even the best. You're not even the second best team in your own division if you're in the AFC West. You're going to sit out and then prove what? You know, the clock is ticking on you to have this opportunity. And that's a really good Green Bay team right now. I just can't envision him saying, I'm going to sit out. Because you're now that's another year where you're going to blow another opportunity to maybe get back to another Super Bowl here. I mean, this is, what, a 37-year-old quarterback? And I know he may look at Tom Brady and say, hey, I got a few more years than you think. Okay, but there's only one Tom Brady. He's the anomaly here. Everybody's talking about, I want to play as long as Tom. Okay, Russell Wilson's talked about that as well. Okay, well, let me see when you get into your 40s how you're feeling. But also trying to understand, at some point, the Packers have to know who's their quarterback. Like, they have to be selfish as an organization. Aaron Rodgers might be selfish now with his approach with all of this. Obviously, he's got feelings that are hurt, but, you know, we keep hearing that this is fixable. I need to know what the problem is to know if it's fixable. Because if you say it's fixable, we got the Jordan Love situation. Well, then it's not fixable. But the Packers have to at some point say, all right, who's our quarterback here? Because that is a NFC title talented team. And you know, the path to the Super Bowl, you got Tampa Bay. I guess you can throw in San Francisco if they're healthy. I like the Rams as the sneaky team. But how many other great NFC teams are there coming up this year? And that opens the door for Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers to get back to an NFC title game and maybe get back to another Super Bowl. Not going to a Super Bowl in Denver. Not going to a Super Bowl with the Raiders. Not anytime soon. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, I mean, the NFC might be a little better. This the Bucs, Rams, Seahawks. That scary a little bit?
The
Bucs are going to be a problem.
The Rams, I don't know about Seattle. But the Saints don't seem like they're going to be as formidable.
Definitely not.
Yeah. So, I mean, who else you were?
Well, the Bucs are the only Super Bowl team ever to bring back everyone.
Yeah.
That was very unprecedented.
Yeah. But yeah. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I got to look at the NFC right now, and we do have a window here. Like, are you counting on the Cowboys being formidable this year?
Right off the whole NFC East.
The NFC North, are you counting on the Vikings? You know, the Bears? I wouldn't. Like, Panthers, Falcons? This is a great opportunity, and I can't see him passing up this opportunity. No matter, I didn't like people in management at ESPN. But I didn't care. I just avoided them. I mean, I did SportsCenter and hung out with people that I liked. If you see management, then you'd put on the phony front and say, hi there, how you doing? And then that's it. You just keep moving. All right, a couple of phone calls in here. And let's see, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Everybody, you know, not everybody, but people will say, well, you know, Rodgers has all this money. You know, he doesn't need to play football. Okay. I haven't met too many people who have a lot of money who say, nope, no more. I couldn't take another $1 million. He might want a new contract. I mean, that's another part of the equation here. If he does come back, hey, I'll come back, but this is what I want. I want to be guaranteed this contract for 3 years that I'm the starter, barring an injury, and you're going to make me the highest paid player in the NFL. Is that what is fixable? Okay. Yeah, Paul.
Rodgers is due $22 million in salary this season, which will make him like the 12th highest paid quarterback. He got most of his money when he signed in 2018. His signing bonus was a one-time check of $57 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but after taxes.
Yeah.
What will that get you in the Green Bay real estate market?
It gets you Green Bay.
Yeah, you'll do okay.
Aaron Rodgers has bought Green Bay. Not the stadium. He couldn't afford that. Next contract. Kyle in Green Bay. Kyle, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, guys. Actually, it's funny that you just mentioned the real estate market in Green Bay, as I am a real estate appraiser in Green Bay. So it's kind of funny that you just mentioned that. So I just want to talk about this whole situation. Obviously, it's been the number one headline, not just in Green Bay, but obviously you guys talk about it every day as well, as does everybody else on the radio. What I think Aaron Rodgers is trying to prove is that the front office really doesn't know what they're doing, and that their total, ineptitude, I guess it would be. I mean, he's just letting them shoot themselves, you know, in the foot. I mean, look at what Mark Murphy said about, a complicated fella. I mean, you know who's – A-Rod's just sitting back being silent about it all. He's basically saying, you know, you guys want to shoot yourselves in the foot, then put your foot in the mouth. And A-Rod's just sitting back just laughing about it. He'll be back week one. He's not going anywhere. There's no way that he is going to get traded, I don't think. If the Packers would trade him, why would they trade him right now?
I know.
Wait until next season when the market value is going to be set. I mean, you guys have talked about it. The quarterback cycle, it changes. How many quarterbacks change hands every year? How many teams get new quarterbacks every year? There's going to be 7 or 8 teams that are going to be, you know, lining up to get him next year. Right now, it's basically 1, maybe 2 teams.
Oh, I know. I know. That's why I would have thought if you're going to trade him, you trade him the night of the draft, because you got more teams looking for quarterbacks, and maybe that changes what the 49ers do. Maybe it could have changed what the Rams were going to do. But now you have two teams, and it's Denver and the Raiders. But, you know, he's sitting back laughing at all of it. Like, I don't understand that. So I'm going to show the ineptitude of the front office. Last I looked, the front office has done pretty well. The team has been successful. They've had some really good draft picks here. And they did draft him, by the way. But they have a good team, bordering on a great team. Yeah, McLovin.
It's hard to ignore the parallel between when they drafted him and Brett Favre. I mean, remember how messy the end of Favre was for years?
Yeah, but Favre wasn't good.
We had one good year at the very end. Remember when McCarthy took over? His last year at Green Bay was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like 35. He wasn't even that old.
Yeah. But back then, that was old.
Well, I was wondering, is it possible Jordan Love is Aaron Rodgers good? Maybe they think this guy's the guy.
No, I don't know. If that's the case, then I would have, players knew that Justin Herbert was different. You can watch that with Hard Knocks. Veterans stopped and watched him throw a football into a basket. The Chiefs players knew that Patrick Mahomes was different. You know it. It's not one of those where you go, I don't know, we're going to need another year really to decide. Now, I want to see him in a preseason game, but I would think you have a pretty good idea of what you have in Jordan Love. I don't think you need another year. Now, if you need another year, then you don't know what you have in Jordan Love. Yeah, Pauling.
McLovin's right. When they took Favre was still the Packers starter in 2004, he's 35 years old. They were 10-6. They made the playoffs. He threw for 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 17 picks.
Okay.
Good year. He did not make the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
He cooled off a little bit. The year after they drafted Rodgers, they were 4-12, and Brett Favre led the league in interceptions. It was his worst season of his entire career.
Yeah.
And he got a little better and still had one more good year, but then the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, McLovin.
It's funny you mentioned the quarterback age is totally, we think of it totally differently now because of Brady.
Yes. 35, it's like, oh, man, you're old. Now it's like, hey, he's 35. Now you still got a few good years left. But, you know, these guys are, you don't go to camp and then get in shape when you go to camp. This is a business. And it used to be with spring training. Players would get to spring training to get in shape. Now you're in shape before you get there. You just get in better shape. We'll get to phone calls coming up. Wright Thompson will join us. We'll talk about this Father's Day gift, a great book there. And he's written so many profiles. Last time we had him on, we talked about Jordan and Urban Meyer, just to name a couple of people that he's done a deep dive on. Pat Riley. When he writes, I read. We'll take a break here. It's 15 after the hour, Dan Patrick Show. You want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically, and there's no limit on how much you can earn, and that's amazing. Even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. You can learn a whole lot more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations do apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Yesterday, we were talking about bands, big bands, that might surprise you that they never had a top 10 hit. And Rush, of course, one of those. Led Zeppelin only had one top 10 hit. I'm guessing that's Stairway to Heaven.
I think it's Whole Lotta Love.
Stairway to Heaven was not a top 10 hit.
From what I saw yesterday, it was not.
Whole Lotta Love?
I think.
All right.
Double check.
This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today.
Is it really surprising Rush didn't have a top 10 hit, though?
No, not for me.
They didn't want to.
They chose not.
Not sellouts. Success is such a sellout.
Not exactly shocking to me that those guys didn't break the top 10.
Widespread success is such a sellout.
They didn't even get top 10 in prog rock, right? Aren't they prog rock?
Yeah.
Did Rush create prog rock?
Or did they ruin it?
All right. Let's get to Wright Thompson, ESPN senior writer. Let's make Pappy Land the bestseller list on New York Times. The story of family, fine bourbon, and other things that last. Available online wherever books are sold. I never steer you wrong when I tell you about a great book. And this is a great book. It's a great read. It feels like it's supposed to be about bourbon, but it's really about family, father, son. And Wright Thompson joins us on the program. How did I do? How did I do with selling that?
Well, I think you did well. Like Rush, you know, obviously I don't care about being on the top 10, but we're both lying. I feel like a Rush show is like a Grateful Dead show that isn't fun. I don't know that for sure. No, I appreciate that. It's, you know, we've joked before. My wife makes fun of me saying I did Eat, Pray, Love for dads. But, I mean, it is ostensibly the story of Julian Van Winkle making the rarest bourbon in the world. But, I mean, as you alluded to, this accidentally happened, sort of. It turned into a story about Julian and his dad and his children, and a story about me and my dad and my two daughters. And, because it ends up being a meditation on inheritance and on home and family and sort of the things that we want to pass down to our kids and the things that we don't. I think, you know, you and I have talked about that before, but I mean, it is trying to unravel those things.
If you were going to give a Bourbon 101 to our audience, what to look for, the take, you know, because it can be pretty intimidating when you walk into a liquor store and you're going, I have no idea what I'm buying here. Do you know enough about bourbon after hanging out with Pappy Van Winkle that you could give some advice?
I mean, the thing I learned is sort of counterintuitive to what you would think after all of that time around him, which is, one, there's no wrong answer. So, like, whatever it is that you like, for whatever reason you like, is great. I mean, there's so many brands out there. Almost all of the whiskey comes from 6 or 7 distilleries. You know, I get these emails all the time from people who bought Pappy Land and are like, well, you know, my buddy's getting married, or, you know, what bottle of whiskey should I get? And my standard answer is, go get a really nice crystal decanter and fill it up with Maker's Mark or Wild Turkey. Because, you know, I don't, you know, the point is, the whiskey, and one of the things I write about in the book a lot is coming to understand that the whiskey is the vehicle for the thing. It isn't the thing itself. It is the conversation. It is the people you're with. It is the people who were once there, who were now there only in the sort of spirit of the toast. And that matters more to me, at least, and to Julian, than however many points it got in some competition.
Yeah, because you can go into a store. In fact, I went into a store a couple of days ago, and I just love to pick their brain. I always say, what is it that everybody wants, and why do they want it? And it comes down to supply and demand. And people should know that Pappy Van Winkle is very expensive on the secondary market, and that the owner, Julian, doesn't make that money. And it feels like, I think in the book, people would come up to him, They're angry at him. Like, why is your bourbon so expensive?
Well, it's funny because people are always asking, why don't you make more? And he always says, because I'm not selling it to you. I'm selling it to your children. And I don't know what they're going to like. I don't want to make a bunch of this stuff that comes out in 20 years and find out that the trend has changed. I mean, one of the things I found fascinating about being around Julian and about working on the book was that he has to live 12, 15, 20, 23 years in the future. And that sort of accidentally bleeds into other parts of his life. Like, you start to find it really seductive because you think, well, could I live like that? You know, I work for a cable news network. You know, I mean, there is no tomorrow past the next 30 seconds. And Julian is 20 years out. I mean, the whiskey they're putting in barrels right now, he won't live to see bottled. And so one of the things I thought that was really fascinating about spending time with him was both listening to him talk about that, but also just watch how that bled into how he orders his life.
He's Wright Thompson. The book is Pappy Lynn, A Story of Family, Fine Bourbon, and the Things That Last. It's available online wherever books are sold. Give me the person you profiled that you'd like to do a follow-up on.
I mean, I'd like to go... Evidently, and if somebody knows more about this, please reach out to me. But evidently, Michael Jordan is becoming a really good marlin fisherman. And I remember Richard Ben Kramer's famous piece about Ted Williams and how serious fishermen respected Ted Williams, not because he was famous, but because he was good at the thing. And I'm curious how good Michael is getting at that and how into it he's getting. I mean, you know, is it just something to go do while you drink beer, or has this activated the lizard brain? And the name of his boat, which evidently he came up with, I love, is Catch 23, which is a great fishing boat name. Yeah. Like, I'm just like, oh, Michael. But I would be interested to know if that is a hobby or if it has entered the realm of obsession.
And you do these deep dives. You did a wonderful one with Pat Riley. It just feels like there's interconnected tissue with a lot of these marquee people in what they do and how they do it and why they do it. Or am I reading too much into that? Right.
Well, I think there are only like six stories, you know, that happen over and over and over again. I mean, I love just to sort of sit back and laugh, like fathers and sons, man. You know, we think we're so complicated and we're just not. And, you know, I mean, it's all there right below the surface. So, I mean, I've spent a lot of time wondering, I don't know if you have, but like, is there a greatness gene? Like, if Michael Jordan would have been introduced to swimming or to chess, like, was he going to be great at whatever first activated his mind? I mean, you and I talked about that a couple of years ago about Tiger Woods. I mean, if Earl Woods would have handed Tiger Woods a cello, would he have been Yo-Yo Ma? And like, I don't really know the answer to that, but there do seem to be points of connection with these people who are super high achievers.
Are those people ever satisfied though?
I don't know. Usually not. That's what, you know, you and I have talked about Dale Murphy, who is the happiest retired ball player I've ever met. And I think that it's because the people who are happy understand that the famous version of them has only a passing similarity with the actual them, and that you have to like somehow let that person go. I think the people who are happiest are the ones who don't, you know, is that famous John Updike quote, the mask eats the face. I think the people who are happiest are the ones who are self-aware enough to know that that is probably going to happen and try to stop it.
What are you working on now?
I'm doing a thing about Manchester United that is roaring along. I can't really talk about it, but I've been brainstorming a thing with Mickey Hart from the Grateful Dead. 16-year-old me, his mind is blown to get an email from Michael Hart. So that's pretty incredible.
Are you in England now?
No, I just got home. I'm in Laurel, Mississippi. I had a book event last night.
Oh, okay.
And, but I got home, I don't know, Sunday. I don't even know what day it is. And
but you can't tell me what the Manchester United.
Oh, sure, sure. And well, so what's it's nominally about the Super League, which I'm sure you guys have talked about on the show. But what's interesting is I wanted to write about the 150-year arc of Man United fans as a way of showing both who the people were who were really angry about this and how they got so angry. And, you know, I really like places where the membrane between the past and the present is really thin. And, you know, Manchester, you know, the birthplace of the Industrial Revolution, there were these neighborhoods just north of the city center where all the cotton mills were. And that was forever the heartlands of Man United supporters. And the same forces of globalism that were invented in those factories where their ancestors worked are now at work on soccer and everything else, football to them. Apologies if you're in Manchester. And it was interesting to me that what you're really watching is a business decoupling from one group of parochial local fans and recoupling to a large global audience of consumers. And so all of the stress and the tension and the angst that you feel in Manchester feels connected to those really old forces that are just beneath the surface.
Have you taken a deep dive into music with a profile? I mean, I know that I've known you with all the things you've done sports-wise, but I'm curious about that musical genius that we see, and is it applicable to, like, Bruce Springsteen strikes me as a perfectionist and driven to whatever lengths to continue to prove himself. But I don't know if you've done any profiles.
I have not. I would like to, because I do think there's some similarities. I mean, I think specifically with Bruce. I mean, when you go, I like to listen to those records in order because they all feel like letters from a certain time in his life. And one of the things I think is probably different is that an athlete is great by suppressing that self-knowledge. And I think if you're going to be Bruce Springsteen, you have to be hyper self-aware if you're going to put out these documents that are based on your own life that feel true to the listener. And so I think that there, it's interesting that I think they're probably a lot of the same traits, but I bet musicians to be great have to access insecurities and doubts that athletes have to deny and repress. I mean, I don't know. I've never really thought about it until now, but I mean, I imagine that there's similarities, but also those things feel very different.
I wish you luck with the book, and hopefully we'll make it. Now, do you want to be number one on the New York Times bestseller on the bestseller?
Well, how about what was Led Zeppelin with Whole Lot of Love? Do we know?
Paulie, do we know where Whole Lot of Love ended up? I should know this. My favorite band.
I got it as it was once eight on the charts.
Right. You know what? Eight sounds great. I mean, by the way, the fact that When the Levee Breaks wasn't the number one song in the world is just utterly baffling to me. I mean, get out. Come on. Who's voting on this stuff?
I think it's just people buying it. Is that right, Paulie?
That's it. Just Billboard rankings, yeah. Amazon purchases.
So we did that to Led Zeppelin. We collectively.
Well, it's interesting. So what was number one? Sorry, we're way off the track. What was number one when this was number eight?
Paulie, do you have Billboard, the top 10 list when Zeppelin was eight?
Yeah, I do, actually. I Want You Back by the Jackson 5. Well, that's pretty good.
That's a good song. What was two?
Venus, Shocking Blue. I don't know that. Raindrops Keep Falling in My Head, B.J. Thomas. Okay.
He just passed away.
I'm correcting it now. I confirmed Whole Lot of Love was number four that week.
Ooh.
Okay. What was three?
Raindrops Keep Falling in My Head.
That's a good list.
Don't Cry Daddy by Elvis was six.
No. Come on.
Sly and the Family Stone was number eight.
Sly underrated. Sly and the Family Stone underrated. Hey, good luck with the book. Always great to talk to you, Wright. Thank you, buddy. He's Wright Thompson. The book is Pappyland, A Story of Family, Fine Bourbon, and Things That Last. If you want to learn about bourbon, you'll learn that. But it's also about father-son, family relationship, and a great Father's Day gift. So, get a couple of phone calls in here. Once again, Adrian Wojnarowski says the Nets have upgraded James Harden to doubtful for tonight's Game 5. Can't imagine that he's playing, and I don't want him playing if there's a chance that he's going to re-injure this and then not be available for 6 and 7. Yeah, McLevin.
I don't know. I feel like it's kind of now or never.
If they lose tonight, it's not over.
Go to Milwaukee. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, it's going to be tough sledding, but I don't want him to come back. And then let's say you win tonight, he comes back and plays, you win, and he re-aggravates the hamstring. So now I don't have him for the next two games. And then I don't know if I'm going to have him for the Eastern Conference Finals. I think you got to play the long game here and just hope. Like, this is on Kevin Durant. This is what great players do. He's been part of super teams here. Now you have to be the super team. And this is incumbent upon Kevin Durant to do what other great players have done before. LeBron in particular. LeBron did this on a yearly basis with the Cavs. Now, Kevin Durant, you have to step up and have a big game because you had other people to always lean on. And I think I'm expecting Kevin Durant to have a huge game here. But maybe Milwaukee's figured out what to do and how to do it against him and be able to at least corral him a little bit. And P.J. Tucker has done a great job. Yeah, McLevin.
That's the thing. They're playing a very good team. If Milwaukee shot anywhere near like did in the regular season, this series might be over. Yeah. They forgot how to shoot this postseason.
Yeah, but the Nets were two possessions away from going up 3-0. Though you have to factor that in as well. Even if the Bucks didn't shoot that well, I just have to have Giannis stop taking threes. Just take it to the hole. Take it to the hole every single time. And he's going to have to develop that go-to move. Other than he's got two moves, but he's going to have something that allows him to have that 15-foot jump shot. Because now you can put pressure on the defense. You're out on the three-point line. Like, go ahead, take all the shots you want because you're going to miss, and then you're not going to be around for the rebound. I'd have no problem with that. Doug in North Carolina. Hi, Doug. What's on your mind today?
Well, Dan, I want to tell you about the huge angle you're missing on this Aaron Rodgers drama.
All right.
The person who should be the most nervous about what's going on in Green Bay is none other than Andrew Perloff. McLovin has a recorded bet with Jeff in Detroit where he has promised to get on a plane and fly to Detroit if the Lions should make the playoffs. Aaron comes back to Green Bay. They win 13, 14 games. He's fine. Aaron retires or goes elsewhere. The NFC Central becomes the NFC East. Maybe 8-9 wins gets you into the playoffs. It's an open house, and I think Andrew's packing his bags.
Oh, okay. Doug, reading into this a little bit. Yes, McLevin.
I would actually love to drive to Detroit. That would be so cool. But I keep reading about the Lions. This is no way they are ready to win that division.
No. I don't think so.
I think I'm the biggest Bears fan in the room right now, by the way. I think Paulie is not talking at all here.
Oh, well, who's got a Chicago Bears coffee mug?
Well, that's for different reasons, though.
That's true. It's easier to see after I spilled my other one yesterday. Yes, Paulie.
I think Perloff's going to be a Bears fan for about 4 weeks until they move on to the rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Until the bye.
Yeah. You like the Bears because of Andy Dalton.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, I notice you have a reddish-orange mug. I feel like you're on Team Red Rifle as well.
No, it's orange Chicago Bears. It's not orange-reddish.
I don't know. That looks like Andy Dalton's hair color to me.
Okay.
Come on, join. Everyone, get in the pool. There's plenty of room.
No.
Tons of room.
Yeah, there's a reason why there's plenty of room in there. Let's take a break. More phone calls coming up. Reggie Miller will stop by. We're going to call it the Reggie Miller rule. There's a new rule being implemented in the NBA. And I think Reggie Miller is the forefather of this. We'll talk to Reg about that. That's coming up. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the deal with Rush music? How about one song per show?
You mean what's the deal? Like, why did they make it? Or what's the deal? Why are we playing it so much?
Why are we playing it so much?
Oh.
We're crushing in Canada.
I know. I'd prefer to crush in the United States.
What would be the band that would do that?
Guns N' Roses.
Oh. You think so? Yes, McClellan.
Isn't Styx the American Rush?
Oh, God. That is so accurate. Andrew, you are back.
You know who I'm going to go see. I'm going to go.
Dua Lipa?
I do love her voice, but Harry Styles. Yeah. Yeah. Like Harry Styles. I think The Garden. I think I might go see Harry Styles.
Olive Garden? Where is it?
Wow. No, The Garden. Oh. Madison Square Garden. Yes, Todd.
Now, where does that rank next to Olivia Rodrigo for your next concert?
No, I just said she has the album of the year.
Yeah.
But that's all. She's kind of taken the Billie Eilish baton, and she's become a little thing now. She's probably got the album of the year. That's all. It funnels through me, and then I hand it off to my audience.
You're
I don't know where I get it, Todd. It just it happens, and then I go, I must share this, and then I share it.
And everybody's appreciative that much better people for it.
Yeah. When I read a book, or I'm listening to music, or I see a show or a movie, then this audience trusts me, and I hand it off to them. And I said, here, you don't have to thank me. Just take it. Just enjoy it.
They grab the cultural baton, I guess.
Yes, they do. Yes, McLovin.
I saw that Justin Bieber is touring a bit this summer. Is that a concert on your list? I know Harry Styles is a personal friend of yours, or you've met him or something, right?
He's not a personal friend.
But you've been around him, I recall.
For about 14 seconds.
Yeah.
He was coming out of the bathroom. I was going in the bathroom.
So why the interest in seeing him?
I don't know. I like him. I just profiles I've read on him. He was a very pleasant person. When I shocked him as he was walking out of the bathroom, I'm like, hey, and he goes, hey. So I was like, I got to get a picture. And he goes, all right. And then got a picture. And then that was it.
Just outside the bathroom is a tough place to do that.
It is.
I mean, it's only slightly better than inside the bathroom.
Well, that's where I was like, let's come out of the bathroom. I don't want to go in the bathroom and get a picture taken with Harry Styles. By the way, he looked like $1 million.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go see Harry Styles. Yeah.
Solo?
Well, I would, but yeah. I'm not.
Plus one?
I don't know if my wife wants to go, but, you know, she's adventurous.
You could take my wife. She'd be in.
She would like to go?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, see Harry Styles?
Yep.
Harry's still, he's a big thing. He's still a big deal. Us One Directioners.
Are the Directioners, are they done? Are they going to regroup at all?
I think they always eventually regroup, right?
Yeah, get paid.
Yeah. Harry said, we'll never get back. You know, every band, it feels like, we'll never get back together. Wait, we could make how much money? All right, we'll get back together. Zeppelin's not getting back. I mean, we don't have John Bonham, but I don't think Robert Plant wants to sing Zeppelin songs anymore. Plus, I don't think he can sing some of those Zeppelin songs. I don't think you ever think that when you're writing music or performing music. Am I going to be able to sing this 30 years from now? And there's probably a few musicians who are like, God, what was I thinking when I wrote this in my 20s? I mean, even McCartney, with some of his songs that he wrote with the Beatles, trying to do that now at his age, probably difficult. Yeah, Paul.
I saw John Fogerty sing live probably about 6 years ago. He's 76 years old. That means he was 70. He was hitting his high notes with no problem. And I was really impressed by it because John Fogerty's got some high note songs, high pitched, high, hitting some stressed on the voice stuff.
Yeah.
Really impressive.
Yep. He does sound great. If you get a chance to see John Fogerty, do so. It's a great concert. His sons are involved in it. They're great musicians as well. Yes, McLovin.
Bob Dylan's like Tom Brady. He never had a voice. And like Tom Brady never had athleticism. So it doesn't matter as you go.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
I mean, Dylan, maybe I'm wrong, but Dylan was always kind of an odd voice.
Well, I think he chose to have that voice. I think he could actually sing differently, but for some reason, his delivery, and I've watched a few documentaries on Dylan, because I am kind of fascinated how people viewed him as some deity, religious god. Yeah, Seton.
Yeah, I've heard that before, too, that he actually has a great voice, but he chooses to use it that way.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's true or not. I feel bad that he writes good music now. He just can't deliver good music now. And, you know, when you hear his voice, it's pretty tough. Yeah, plug.
Wouldn't you say there's a lot of big-name rock stars who don't have classically great voices? Young Bruce Springsteen was a lot different than older Bruce Springsteen. It sounds a lot different. But, like, you know, Tom Petty has that kind of nasally twang when he was huge.
Yeah, but I think Tom Petty wanted to sound like Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
And you can hear that. They did a rock and roll. There was an anniversary show, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Petty is on stage with Bob Dylan, and you can't tell them apart. And this is 1980, maybe? 80, I think. But you can't tell them apart as far as their voices go. Yeah, McLeod.
I kind of agree with Paul. You don't need a great voice to be like a rock star. You know, like,
I think nowadays you need a great look. You need a marketing plan. And if you can somehow sing, then you got a good chance of being successful.
Or do they auto-tune songs so much?
Yeah, they do that too. I know. Yes, Todd.
Some thought Billy Joel didn't have a good voice. I know I saw some documentary where growing up and when he was trying to get into the industry, there were a number of teachers and music professionals that thought he would never make it as a singer.
Yeah. Yep.
Paul. I heard an interview with Billy Joel. He never wanted to write lyrics. He never wanted to sing songs. He's a piano player. But they said, if you want to have any pop success, you have to add lyrics. He's like, all right, by default, he had to.
A couple of phone calls here. Reggie Miller will join us in a half hour. Mike in Wisconsin. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, Dan, I'd like to make a bet with you.
Oh.
I'd like to make a bet with you. I live in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, the bratwurst capital of the world.
All right.
And I would like to make a bet with you on the U.S. Open golf tournament.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going to do an Aaron Rodgers bet, but what's on your mind then, Mike?
Okay, I would like to pick one person, and each one of you guys gets to pick one. And if I finish better than 3 out of 5, I would get a couple shirts. And if I don't, then I'll send you a case of brats from either Johnsonville or Miesfeld's Meat Market in Sheboygan.
Okay. Are you guys up for this with Mike in Wisconsin?
Totally.
Yeah, everybody? Okay. I guess you get first pick, Mike?
Well, you can pick. It doesn't matter. I heard yesterday on Golf Channel that they're trying to get Bryce DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka to make amends, and it's not going to work.
No. Pair them together. That'd be awesome. How about I give you two golfers, and then we get the field?
Okay.
All right. So who are your two players?
All right. I'm going to take Xander Schauffele.
All right.
And John Rahm.
All right. That's it. All right, Mike. Then this is for brats. We got a bet here. And then stay on hold. Marvin will get all your information here. I think we kind of helped ourselves. I don't know how we do this because I gave him two people. So he's got two players. We got everybody else. I think he was saying, I'm going to get one guy, and then you guys. I have to beat 3 out of 5 here.
It's all right. We could pick.
Yeah, I think
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, you scammed him a little bit there.
I know. I did. We're getting some brats. Final hour coming up. Reggie Miller will join us. More of your phone calls as well. Seton Pauley, Fritzy McLovin, yours truly. Dan Patrick Show. One more item here, second hour. We close that out. ZipRecruiter, it's a full-time job. Looking for a full-time job. You're searching. Don't know if somebody got your application, and maybe you get lost in a shuffle of applicants. But that's why you need ZipRecruiter. When you sign up on ZipRecruiter.com, you get a free profile. And then you get matched to great jobs. And then there's a whole lot more that ZipRecruiter does. ZipRecruiter will proactively pitch your profile to employers whose jobs match your experience. And unlike other job sites, if an actual person from the company really likes what they see, they can personally invite you to apply to their job. Candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly 3 times as likely to get hired. Plus, if you like the job, you can apply to it and many others with just one click. It's that easy. That's why ZipRecruiter is the number one rated job site in the United States. Sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com today. ZipRecruiter.com, absolutely free. Put ZipRecruiter to work for you.